my brothers and my sisters, children of a living God, a hard heart is a dangerous thing. A hard heart is closed to the exhilarating action of learning. A hard heart is closed to the powerful process of change. A hard heart has made its decision, has taken its stand, has walled off its sins, and waved off the influence of others. A hard heart is steeled against growing. A hard heart is a dangerous thing, and a hard heart is nothing new. Were we to drop into the 6th century before the Common Era, were we to drop back 2,600 years to the time of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, two prophets of Israel, we would meet a people of God who, according to the prophets, have a hard heart. Israel. Israel has been in a time of prosperity and growth. Well, let me nuance that just a little bit. Israel's elite class has been in a time of wealth and well-being. Since the time of King Hezekiah, the elite of Israel have been willing to wheel and deal with the powers around them. They've been willing to wheel and deal with Egypt and then Assyria. And now they are trying their hand at wheeling and dealing with Babylon. And what is more, as they have found themselves more and more in league with these far-off kings, the people of God have looked more like the kings and less like the chosen of God. Then God speaks through Ezekiel in the 5th chapter. Because you have not walked in my statutes or obeyed my rules, therefore I am against you. And I will execute judgments in your midst because of all of your abominations. I will do with you what I have never done before, and the likes of which I'll never do again. God is not happy with Israel. He's not pleased. And he repeats it through the prophet Jeremiah. Be appalled, O heavens, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've carved out cisterns, broken cisterns for themselves, which will hold no water. God is not pleased. Israel has cast their God-given space aside. If you read through Ezekiel and Jeremiah, you will see that God uses the language of whoredom, about his people over and over. You've given away your choice gifts on the high places, God says of Israel. God is not pleased, but the God who formed and fashioned Israel, the God who created them out of the dust, is not ready to give up on them yet. You heard Kim read the text this morning from Ezekiel. It says, I'll remove from your heart, your body, that heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit in you. I'll make it so you can follow my ordinances and my statutes, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. And in Jeremiah, he repeats the same thing. The days are coming when I will make a new covenant. It's not going to be like that old covenant. It's going to be a brand new covenant, and I will make it with you, Israel, and I'll put my law within your heart. Now, if you don't know, Jeremiah was taken into exile Ezekiel was taken into exile with the people, and Jeremiah was left to watch and to speak to them. So one of these prophets is in the middle of exile. One is still in Jerusalem, but they're saying the same thing. Israel, God loves you. God desires to put a new heart in you. God desires to soften your heart, because a soft heart can learn. A soft heart can listen. A soft heart can change. This is good news for God's people, that though they have walked away from God, God has not given up on them. This is good news that God has come close and said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. But Israel, over and over again. Israel is not ready to play. They will not return. They will not relent. They will not repent. Israel's heart has grown hard. Jeremiah calls them foolish. Ezekiel calls them wicked. And though God won't give up on them, God determines that God is going to get their attention by sending them into exile for 70 years, an entire lifetime, 70 years. And that hard heart is going to change because everything else is going to change. Their way of worship changes. They say in the Psalms, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a strange land? They're in Babylonian exile. Their place of worship will change. Their temple is destroyed. Their access to their ancient things changed. They're over 1,000 miles from Jerusalem in Babylon. Their freedom and agency has changed. They're now slaves. Their connection to the generations before changed. They cannot even get to the place to honor their graves. Their generation with their relationship with the generation to come changed because an entire generation will be born and die in exile, never seeing Jerusalem. So much has changed because their hearts were hard. Beloved, if we really could teleport back 2,600 years, if we really could find our way back to that space and meet and talk to the people of Israel, what might we say to them? What might we share with them? There are three things I would say to God's people if I could be with them. The very first thing I would say to them is the cost of this behavior is too high. The cost of this behavior has caused them to lose so much of what they needed. They've lost their place of worship. They've lost their place in God's heart as the ones who are obedient. They've lost their ability to tell the stories of Zion as they are in the place of Zion. They've lost a treasured status. They've lost their way. The cost of a hard heart is just too high. They are slaves far from home. I tell them the cost is too high. And I would tell them that the God who loves them longs for them to return. I would tell them that it is time to confess their sins and to acknowledge before God what they've learned. I would tell them that they would have to tell the truth of what they have done, that they would have to tell the truth of their desire to change, that they would have to tell the truth of what they've learned, that when they turn their back on God, they lose their power. When they turn their back on God, they lose that space of peace. I would tell them, you have to confess and speak to the Lord who loves you about what you've learned. And I would tell them that all is not lost. That word spoken in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah, that God wants to repair the relationship, that God wants to write this new covenant, not in flaky stone, but in fleshly hearts. Not in flaky stone where wind and water might erase it, but in hearts where it would remain. I would tell them all is not lost because the God of all creation loves them and longs for them to return. And a hard heart, while it is dangerous, it is not fatal. For God can soften even a hard heart. Beloved, the truth of the matter is, when I look around at not the world, but at God's people, when I look around at the Christian church, I see hard hearts. I see hearts that are hardened in such a way in the church we are able to cast people to hell if they're on the wrong side of some line that we've decided is the line that God has drawn. I see hard hearts because what happens at the border or what happens in Myanmar or what happens around the world, if it's not happening to the people who have our DNA or who look like us, we flip right by it on the news channel or in the newspaper, never even stopping to pray. I see in God's people hard hearts because as we gather in a nation that is supposed to be e pluribus unum, we are divided and stretched, not just in the world, but in the church. I see hard hearts in the church. And if God let me have a megaphone, I would say to those of us who claim to follow Christ that the cost of a hard heart is too high. It allows us to stay divided. It allows us to stay walled up in our own little spaces, caring only about those whom we love. It allows us to spend our resources just on places with whom we agree, as opposed to places where we might create peace and harmony and healing. It allows us not to care. A hard heart is a dangerous thing, and the cost is too high. I would tell us that we too have to confess. We too have to acknowledge what we've learned. We must be willing as a people of God in a nation of democracy to say that we have not always sought justice and righteousness. We've not always worked for peace. We've not always sought to bridge divides. We've not always avoided vain arguments and sought to bring a kind of understanding and a hope. We've not always been the solution. We have to confess that sometimes the church of the living God has been the problem. I would tell us, like God was saying to his people 2,600 years ago, the cost is high, but you can confess and learn because all is not lost. And I know all is not lost in particular because the covenant that Jeremiah spoke to, the covenant that Jeremiah said would come, the covenant that was not going to be based in the blood of in the blood of bulls and goats and doves, a covenant that was not going to have to be repeated after every sin, but a covenant that was going to be once and for all time, was going to come, and it came. Jesus, on a night hours before he died, gathered his people. And in Holy Week, we call the night of that supper Maundy Thursday. And if you've never known what Maundy stood for, it stands for commandment. Maundy Thursday is the night when Jesus speaks a new covenant and a new commandment. The new commandment from John 13 is that we love one another as he has loved us. And he tells us as he gathers his people, this is a new covenant. It is written once and for always in my blood. This covenant has the power to soften hearts. This covenant has the power to redeem sin. This covenant has the power to restore. Beloved, what, as individuals and as a people of God, have we wandered toward that hardened our hearts? What have we wandered away from that lets us call people names, that lets us write off races and nations and parties and people? What has hardened our hearts? For like Ezekiel and Jeremiah said, God desires for us to have a new heart. Like Jesus said, this is the way to a new heart. Beloved, lessons of the stone of a hard heart is that sometimes it gets formed, as Miss Elaine said, because somebody's done something to you. Sometimes it gets formed because we are afraid. Sometimes it gets formed because we cannot handle everything that is going on around us. Sometimes it gets formed just because we're going to be mean first, so the mean person can't get us. But a hard heart is never the heart God desires for God's people. Why is your heart hard? Hold that in your hand and bring it to this table and place it down and exchange it for a new covenant. A covenant that will soften, that will give us a new heart.